Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. This is Matthew's Gospel, the fifth chapter. Just a snippet from his Sermon on the Mount. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus says, but if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world, Jesus says. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning, after the sermon and after the entree to prayer, the musical entree to prayer, we will settle ourselves and listen to a four-minute piece that our very own Stretch Ledford did on behalf of WILL on the coronavirus. And we will be thinking about that virus in the world and our Chinese students here in Champaign-Urbana particularly. Last week, Stretch was supposed to present to us during the Sunday school hour his take on faith in the real world, and he didn't show up, and Peter Yao called, and Stretch said, I'm not sure what Stretch said because I wasn't on that conversation, but I think Stretch said, hey, Matt is the best preacher in the world. I think that's the first thing Stretch said. I'm just guessing. I could tell by Peter's expression. Because Peter disagreed vehemently with Stretch on that one. And then I think Stretch said, I'm working on a piece. I've been asked to do a piece for NPR, and I have to get that done, and I'm so sorry. But he put a lot of hours into doing this quick research and a quick and very good story. That will be the entree to our prayer this morning. We joked last week that Stretch couldn't present faith in the world because he was in the real world living his faith. I suppose that's what this sermon is about, living in the world and living out your faith in word and in deed. It's called Shine, and of course it's based on this passage from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Soren Kierkegaard, the Danish philosopher, said this, people have an idea that the preacher is an actor on a stage, and they, the congregation, are the audience. What they don't know is that they, the congregation, are the actors on the stage, and the preacher is merely the prompter standing in the wings, reminding them of their lost lines. It's known as Kierkegaard's theater of worship, and he develops it more later. But sometimes we think the preacher is the star of the show, as it were, and that we, the crowd, we're the audience. Not so. The preacher's not the main actor at all, nor is the choir. The preacher is the encourager. The preacher wants the congregation to perform as well as possible for the audience. If you're not the audience, who is? God is the audience. And we are about the act of praise, worship and praise. It's called the theater of worship, Kierkegaard's theater of worship. And you've heard me talk about that before. When we leave worship, I'm often privy to the conversations you have, at least through the grapevine. I sometimes hear through the grapevine that, ah, the choir was off today. I've heard that before. I know it's a shock for you, Joe. I've heard that before. They're crazy. You know, they never say anything about their listening, their hearing. It's the choir. I've heard them say that the preacher was confusing or uninspiring or flat. Well, when Eric preaches, of course. It's not true. That's not true at all. You know, that's not true. And I've heard that the musician played the hymns too slowly, too quickly, too quietly, too loudly. In other words, Richard, it's all your fault, wherever you are. But how often do we evaluate or measure our own performance in worship? Did our performance, did our acts of praise and worship delight and bring glory to God? Was God, the audience, bored to tears with our performance, with the way we poured ourselves out? Or was God delighted and grateful for what we had to offer in prayer and praise? I think some good questions for us to ask when we leave worship is, how did I pray today? Did I pray okay? How did I do? Did I put my heart into it? Do we ever say, I sang my heart out today? I just sang my... Now, I can't sing worth beans, but I sang my heart out anyway. I made a joyful noise. I listened to and I chewed on the scripture. I thought about it like a hungry man or a woman hungering and thirsting for righteousness. I renewed my baptismal vows even though it wasn't written in the liturgy. I did it anyway. I let the waters of baptism wash away my sins. I have decided to leave the burden of my past behind, and I'm going to step into the future in a new way. I've put on new clothes, clean clothes, and work gloves. Do we talk like this when we leave this place of holy divine worship? I'm crowning everything I do with humility and love. I am the modern day Micah, seeking justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with my God. I was still in worship, not asleep, but still. I listened to the Spirit's whisper this morning. I emptied myself. I put on my thinking cap. Kierkegaard's theater of worship, you're the audience. Or excuse me, you're the main actor. God is the audience. The congregation, you're the main actors. The preacher, the choir, the bell choir, the liturgists are all prompters of lost lines. So as Kierkegaard prompts me to prompt you, let me remind you of something from this beautiful, timeless, and simple text that you already know. Be salty and shine. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus says. What he means by that, I'm not completely sure, except maybe to get out into the world and spice it up. You are the light of the world. So let your light shine, your good works, your light, which is a gift from God, so that others can see God shine through you. These two statements are, in another way, Jesus saying that our talk should match our walk. Our walk should reflect our talk. Be salty. Get into life. Mix it up. Spice it up. Put your lamp on a lampstand so the world can see. Don't hide it. Don't keep it as some special private gift for you or just your family. 2 weeks ago, I joined a group of partners with whom we've studied for 25 years, more or less. The five of us men, we pray together, we weep together, we lament together, we eat and cook together, we study together, we talk manly talk together, you know, beat our chests sometimes. We ask each other questions, and we ask questions, hard questions of ancient texts. We talk about the art and the practice of ministry. And often we admit that we are such bad ministers. We try so hard, but others are so much better, and we fall so far short of God's glory. We met years ago at Union Seminary in Richmond when we were young. My old friend Field Russell, who was here with us several months ago, he shared two stories about this text from Matthew. Decades ago, a high official made a state tour to Poland, and on her way to Mass, a security person, a secret police guard, attended with her, and she asked the guard, "Are you Catholic?" He said, "I believe, but I don't practice." She said, "Are you communist?" And he said, "I practice, but I don't believe." Faith and practice must come together to be authentic. Jesus wants to know who lights a lamp and puts a bushel over the top of it. The lamp needs to be placed on the lampstand, doesn't it? Of course it does. Of course it does. The salt needs to be stirred into the stew or it does no good. Faith and works must come together necessarily. Jesus is telling this to his disciples and to his friends, and they've heard this before because Jesus stands in the steady stream of those prophets and wise sages who've come before. And this story Field shared, he's not sure if it's true. He can't verify its source, but he heard it, and it works at least as a telling parable. A professor at a university gave an end-of-term exam on Immanuel Kant's moral imperative. The exam consisted of 2 hours of writing, a break, and then 2 more hours of writing. Everyone failed the exam. The professor told his class when he handed out the papers, "I was outside the room and I watched you in the hallway during the break. You failed to say one word of comfort to the elderly man sitting on the floor, leaning against the wall, who obviously needed something. You went to the restroom, you chatted among yourselves, you looked out the window, but you said you did nothing, you offered no support to this man in such obvious need. You failed in practice at being a moral human being. And you've also failed my exam, which is way less important." Now, maybe it wasn't a fair exam, this trick exam, and I certainly would have argued and gone to the dean and complained about it. But the point certainly works for this sermon. What we believe and what we do obviously and clearly must come together. Our worship and our walk need to line up. You know, there's that story of this woman at a traffic stop, and the fella doesn't go through the yellow light like he could on a left turn, and so she beeps the horn and she rages against him, and she notices next a police officer. You're smiling because you know this story. The police officer raps on the window, takes her out, lays her on the ground and cuffs her, and takes her into the police station, arresting her. She posts bail, her lawyer is there, and they're both livid. And she says, "Why did you arrest me?" And he said, "Ma'am, you had this follow me to Sunday school sticker on your car, your bumper sticker. You had all these Jesus stickers, and I just thought, given your behavior at the light, that you had stolen that car." You know, that's the way we live life sometimes. Our life in the faith is very separate from the faith. The nice way we greet one another and the nice way we smile and let other people cut in line is something we do in church, but in real life, it's very different. It's dog eat dog out there. But our faith and our works must come together. Some of you have expressed interest in walking the talk by coming with us to Cuba this May to deepen our walk with our sister church there, the Llano Presbyterian Church in Havana. If you've taken the class, you can join us. If you haven't taken the class, you can take it next fall. It's a 6-week study where we grow together as a body. But if you come, you'll meet Yaimi. Yaimi welcomed us into her heart, into her home, and into her church. Last year, I sat in on Yaimi's Sunday school class. She was teaching elementary age children. I think we were in the gospel according to Matthew. It could have been Mark. I tried to listen, and I certainly did listen, but I'm not sure I understood much of the Spanish. But when she stood to give her little talk before the end of class, I recognize the two first words that she said. Practicar compasión. She said it twice. Practicar compasión. I recognize those words. And that is, preaching compassion and thinking about compassion and pondering it and meditating upon being compassionate and studying compassion. It matters little if we don't practicar compasión, if we don't practice it. So spice up the world by being active in the world. Add yourself to the ingredients of life around us. Show up, contribute, listen, speak up, and then listen some more. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus says. And consider this. The people of this world, many of whom you know, the redeemed, the needy, the beautiful, the aching, they wait in darkness for the light that God has set ablaze in you. So go out and dare simply to shine. And to God be the glory.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.